Oficiales. You are all welcome. As you know, we are here to consider our report on vote 21. I propose that we take it page by page. Firstly, to see if there are corrections, and if we agreed that the report reflects what has transpired, then we can go back to deal with substantive matters, if any. Can we go to page one? Shout at me because I may be reading and not see your hand.
Page one?
Yes.
Yes.
Can we go to page two? Any correction, page 3, page 4. Page 5. page 6. On to page 8. Page 9. Page 11. Page 12.
On page 12, the last paragraph.
Page
12, last paragraph. I don't know, maybe it's a typing error. The first line, facilities here, I think it's there.
The, I think it's the resolution.
Thank you.
Thank you. Page 13. 14. Page 15. Page 16. 17. Page 19. Page 20. Thank you. page 22.
Page 25.
page 26. Page 27. Page 28. page 13. Page 32.
On page 33, the first paragraph, 12.2, it says, in 2018-19, the TPSA allocated 311 million compared to 301.8 in 2017-18, a real decrease. Is it a decrease or an increase? It's a decrease. For 2018-19.
Yeah. When we're looking at the percentage, so although the figures are a little bit up above, if you look at the difference and you put in inflation and so on, actually a decrease in the budget. So although in actual rand amounts it looks like the amount has increased, when you put inflation into it, it actually means there's negative growth.
Okay.
But because we're not writing for ourselves, why should, is it not written in such a way that even the lay person can understand?
I'll rephrase
it. Yeah, thanks for raising that. Again?
Thanks, Chairperson. Again, at the same page, at 12.3, the first line, the public protector has indicated that certain projects have been deferred. A result. Is it as a result or a result? Okay, thank you.
As a result. Thank you very much. Page 34. Thank you. Page 34. Page 37.
Page 38, paragraph 13.5. The last paragraph.
Paragraph?
13.5.
Mm-hmm.
The last line of that paragraph. The typing error of 4.8 million in 2019/2020. Do you see that? The last line.
All right, the issue. What's the issue?
The issue is the typing error in the public document.
Okay.
The 4.8 million in, it says 2019/2020. It must not be 2020. You see the second?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Can you get a response to that?
The name of the resolution.
That's a typographical error, so it's correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Welcome, Your Excellency. We are on page 43.
page 43 and 44.
The recurrence of the word, the committee's pleased. The committee's pleased. I wonder whether Honorable Mpumulwana was there when this matter was dealt with, because I don't remember him getting pleased with the, how we deal with the language question.
That's a reflection of what anyway, the department was finally the use of two languages for proceedings, because the committee is pleased, the committee is also pleased to learn that. Anyway, we'll come back to that pleasure. Page 45.
I say on page 45, the same thing that you are raising. It talks about the use of the indigenous languages. We said we want it to be compulsory. And it's not saying so here.
Yeah, you see, I can see it's also talking about consultation, endless consultation. But we want the outcome. What happened in terms of implementation. So I think we should really look at that. And this matter is also related to the Renaissance project, transformation of the entire legal.
Right, it relates to the Renaissance project, transformation of the entire legal system. And if we are going to consult for 20 years, it means we are not going anywhere.
Oh, Chairperson?
Yes.
Sorry. Are we starting to debate the report now, or to discuss the report, or we're still on the...
Honorable Mpumulwana has just arrived. We're still
orientating him.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we must tell him the boss now.
Okay. Now we're not debating.
Thank you for your intervention. We are on page 45 now.
My apologies, Chairperson, for late arrival. Yes. So I hope you got my SMS because you responded. Still on page 46, Chairperson. We are on page 46.
Yes.
14.2.5. The third paragraph from bottom. From bottom to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yes. Starting with, the Deputy President had met with the Chief Justice to obtain the judiciary's views on this. In addition, a technical task team had been established, chaired by the Deputy General. Is it not Deputy Director General? Responsible for justice and constitutional development. Yeah? Is it Deputy General?
The information the department provided to Deputy General, the DG.
No, if it's the DG, it's the Director General. If it's the DG.
Sorry.
So if it's the Deputy, Director General.
So my brain has gone past what to correct. Thank you.
It's the Deputy General. Yes.
It's a slip of the mind, though.
Thank you.
No, it says by the Deputy General. There's nothing like such a position does not exist in South Africa. Yes, and there's public. Yeah. Thank you for your vigilance.
J47 is a verb machine.
Honorable, start to what are you saying?
14.2.6 land reform in that paragraph. Just the last word, I think there should be a adjective or adverb, maybe impatient or something like that. Frustrated, impatient.
Are we together?
No.
Sorry, the last, it's 14.2.6, land reform, that paragraph, right at the end of it. It says the processing of land claims is slow and therefore there are huge backlogs. The snail pace, etc., creates the risk of land occupations and violent protests as people become increasingly, what? Frustrated, impatient, something like that.
And also, page 14 to 5, if we say that there was a committee chaired by the Deputy President, who is now the President, and the report has got to be tabled by the 28th February, now we are in May, we should be having the outcome of that process. Because now we are in May, now what happened between May?
Sorry, Chairperson, I think that we can put it on discussion.
On discussion?
Yes, we're still correcting the court. On discussion, we can ask for why client.
Okay. So let's note that because we need to know whether that is. But Honorable Mlauzi, I'm just saying that shouldn't the text, when we the text reflect what we heard from them? But it leaves a matter hanging, but I would defer to what you are saying, provided we note it and come back to it. Honorable Mutabu.
Also, the surname of the president is not Ramaphosa, it's Ramaphosa. It's written as Ramaphosa. Yeah, it's written as Ramaphosa.
Ramaphosa.
Yeah, in page 46, it's Ramaphosa, not Ramaphosa.
And I don't think that the... I don't think that...
14.2.5.
Yes, I don't think that one can blame technology for not knowing the name of one's president.
No, I'm very jealous.
Yeah. No, I'm in support of what you are saying. I'm saying there's no excuse for it. Honorable sir, you raised an issue and didn't raise a correction.
I suggested one could add either the word impatient or frustrated. One needs to decide which word would be more suitable.
What are you recommending?
I'm increasingly frustrated, probably.
Honorable Mpumlan agrees, and I think we all do. Contributions are valuable to all of us, and the murmurings are not helpful.
She was suggesting hurtful, Chairperson. That last suggestion of frustration. She was saying the word hurtful is a possible word in italics.
Some of us are very conservative. Hurtful sounds vulgar and vulgar.
page 49. Page 15.
Just on formulation, page 51, community courts, that the committee is encouraged that the department intends to develop a blueprint on community courts for submission to the minister by 20th February 2019. It doesn't say anything of the fact that there has been a pilot for 20 years. What happened to that pilot? And it says, again, the Law Commission will make a report available by the end of September 2017. Backward. Can we just get the formulation right? Are we going back and forth, or what are we doing? Christine, what does this mean?
I reflected what the department had told us, that last year there was supposed to be a report from the Plastic and Law Reform Commission. We haven't been furnished with a report. We don't know where it is. This year the APP reflects that they will be developing a blueprint. They're waiting. That's basically all the information that we've been given. So instead of saying encouraged, maybe we should say we just note. And then when we discuss the more substantive thing, we can actually expand a little bit on our feelings in that regard.
I also do suggest that what we do today, we forget what we did yesterday, which is related to what we are doing today. Because there is a pilot program that has been going. So or it's our failure as a committee to interrogate. Or we just allow things to pass and we know them. Okay.
Let's come back to that. Page 53. page 56.
Okay, just at 16.2, the second line, that word macros. What does that mean? Is it correct?
Macro.
Macro. Created by a macro increase. What does that mean?
Yes, macro.
The macro increase is what National Treasury refers to as the kind of bare determination of the increase. It's not the it's not the actual.
inflation rate. It's what they've termed as the inflation rate, but it's not the actual cost of things, which is quite a bit higher. But perhaps I can find a more kind of user-friendly term and just put that in.
That's minimal, because macro actually gives the impression it's a big, increase. Mm-hmm. This is actually a minimal increase.
It's an attempt to scare us from following up. Page 57.
page 62.
Just a recommendation, additional request, sorry, 21.2.2. Basically, from preferably, so it would be from the fourth line down to the end should be removed. So after the word urgency, a full stop should come in, and then from the word preferably to the end should be removed. That's a typographical error there. Or should I say a computer glitch?
Honorable members, there is a report. I think we have effected all the necessary corrections. Are we in a position to say that this is a fair reflection of what happened, and that this is a report that as this committee were prepared to adopt. Honorable Swart.
Chair, thank you. And may I just commend everyone who is involved in the drafting of the report on an excellent report. I think it is very comprehensive and covers a lot, and so just one or two suggestions I would we spent a lot of time going through it and reflecting now, but the one issue which I raised and which is particularly pertinent, if you look at page 67,
I want us first to agree that we accept the report, and then
thank you, Chair. I move to accept the report as is, but was subject to a small discussion.
Not a small one. Any seconder that we... Honorable Mutapo.
Thank you, Honorable.
No, actually, what we are talking about is that we agree now that we have effected all the corrections, and then we move into the discussion, and then we will then talk about the adoption of the report as the last. So you were in order.
Thank you, Chair. The one issue that is profound throughout the report is the budget shortfalls. And we are faced with a situation where, on if you look on page 5, where previously, paragraph 4.2, where we, paragraph 4, where we asked in our BBR report for more funds for all the various entities. That was in October. 4.2, the minister came back and said there is insufficient funding. Now we are faced with a situation of dire need, particularly with Legal Aid South Africa. One of the suggestions that you've made right at the end, on page 67, where, sorry, not you, the committee, 21.2.1, the committee recommends that the ministry continue to engage with the Ministry of Rural Development on the transfer of funds allocated to support legal aid advice and litigation by land claims. Now that is referred to within our report on page 56, and that is those funds that are some private attorneys for, and it's quite a large amount. Now, Chair, there is another way of doing this, and that is what I raised previously in terms of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Act. Here we've identified funds that are sitting in another department under another budget vote. And I know time is limited, but it's something to consider going forward, is that we can, in terms of the Money Bills Amendment Act, Section 10 says any committee can approach the Appropriations Committee to move funds. We, as the Justice Committee, can approach the Appropriations Committee and say there is funds in that rural development that should come to Legal Aid Board. Then the Appropriations Committee sits on it and makes a decision. So that is one process. But I'm not, I realize we've got time constraints. But because previously, whenever we've asked for more funds from the ministry, here we say ministry engage with ministry. But we as Parliament have also got a power to engage with the Appropriations Committee. Then the Rural Development Portfolio Committee, they appear before the Appropriations Committee and say, no, the Justice Committee is wrong. They can't take our funds, and then the Appropriations Committee decides on that. So, Chair, my only suggestion is possibly to consider that. I know that time is limited, but my understanding is this is only needs to be finalized by the time we vote on this budget, which is right at the end of the process. So it is just a suggestion from my side, Chair.
You know, Honourable Swart, maybe this is the approach we should have been following as this committee a long time ago, because we can't be pleading with the department to do things which they never do, because the truth of the matter is that legal aid is a competent body to provide the legal services, and the money is sitting with people who don't even seem to know how to use that money. For instance, we have a question where a legal firm, private legal firm, Chidl and Thompson, is appointed to provide legal services. They have to fund other legal firms. There's a conflict of interest. And we say that matter must be addressed. Instead, the department goes and appoint another firm, which means that they don't heed what we're saying. Now, why should we be sitting here if we just talk, we're an advisory committee like a Bantu State government?
Yeah.
So I think we need to exercise our power.
We've got that power, Chair, and maybe you might want to have a discussion with the chairman of the Appropriations Committee and say you've got an issue. Or is it too late? I'm not sure. Yeah.
Honourable Colin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to colleagues. I just want to support what Honourable Swart is saying. Even though we think it might be late, but even if it does not cover on this one, but we have to do something on the matter. If we have to see the appropriations as you are saying, I would suggest that the office of the chair organize that meeting, or he meets that chair, or we go there as a joint committee and discuss the matter. Because clearly, Chair, we have been undermined by the department. If we recommend things that, and they are not happening, we must be seen to take firm steps to try and solve that as well, so that at the end of the day we'll be able to say, yes, the department failed on doing this, but as a committee we've done A, B, C, and D, and we're expecting it to be implemented. I think it's not too late, Honourable Sadi. We have to do something.
No, I think you're right, Honourable Kwame, because you see, is there a mandate that they can carry out, because the funds are sitting somewhere. We have been nice, we advise them what to do. They don't do it. Now we sit here, we've got to say it's late. Late to provide services. We say don't appoint a single term firm. They go and appoint it. It's disregard of what this committee is saying. Can we, those that are capturing the discussion, capture this properly, and this must be communicated. We must do these things because otherwise those who will be here next year will have to plow the same field again. I don't think it's fair to the taxpayer who pays our salaries and our bills and our flights to come here to do the same thing all over again.
Any other comment on the book? How are we approaching the discussion?
Do we just raise any matter from anywhere which may be fair? So, honorable members, you raise matters that are closer to your heart, whether it's the last page or the next page. I'm noting you. Honorable Mutako, Honorable Kwabe, Honorable Lauzi, in that order.
Thank you very much, President and colleagues. Let me come to thank you, Honorable Chair and colleagues. Chairperson, on page 57, dealing with a special investigating unit, as a committee, we were very much concerned about that image which is being portrayed in the media. And again, we raised the issue of, as much as we appreciate organizational review of a special investigating unit, however, there shouldn't be job losses as per the pronouncement made by His Excellency the President during his State of the Nation address. However, in the committee's observation, I don't think that has been well captured. There shouldn't be any job losses, retrenchment or whatsoever. No job losses. Even in terms of the recent World Bank report, inequality and jobs, the South Africa has been noted as the most unequal society. So if there are job losses, aren't we perpetuating that? So I think this, Kristen is noting that. Thank you, Jay.
Shouldn't our approach to be that there should be a finalized organizational structure that we approve. But if people are not even able to produce an organizational structure that is approved by the appropriate bodies, it means that people can just go and employ people from the street. And then at the end we say those people from the street, even when the organizational, the organogram doesn't accommodate them, they should not be removed. Because it appears here there was a failure to produce a structure that is approved. And I think we need to take a firm view on that. But otherwise, what you are saying is correct. That's the way to go. Can we, if you understand us, can it be captured properly? Because if we make things loose, we will end up with people not implementing anything because it would mean we are an advisory council. Honorable Collins?
Yes, Chairperson, I have two things to comment on, then you will guide me as a chair. I happen to be out of order. But I'm on page 67 on our recommendation. On 21.1.1, where we said the reduction in the legal aid of South Africa, we recommend that it be reversed to avoid the retrenchment of its staff. But also, Chairperson, on the issue of the public protector, we know that she requested more funds, and when we see the budget, there's no increment. Now, my worry is we seem to have said nothing on our recommendation. The reason why I'm concerned, Chairperson, is that there are critical investigations in that office. And the public protector always referred to insufficient funds to carry out some of the crucial investigations in the country. We do not seem to have commented and of what should be done in that case, because it's clear even on this financial year there is a reduction in her office. Yet these critical investigations are still there to be carried out. I thought maybe we'll say something on that one, because even the previous public protector also spoke about unable to fulfill certain investigations because of insufficient funds. The current one also spoke about that. And when we see the budget as well, there's a reduction again. And on our recommendations, we didn't say much about that. But that's my comment. Lastly, Chairperson, as well on recommendation, on the inclusion of indigenous language in the LLB, it's there in our report. There is where it says the Council for Higher Education met with the department, and the department assured them that currently that's a requirement for universities to include the indigenous languages in the LLB. As we can see that for now, it's only UKZN. But it seems to me, Chairperson, that even though the Council for Higher Education says that is the rule, there's nothing that other universities are doing to comply with it. And on our recommendation also have nothing as to what should be done to those universities that are not complying. If the Council for Higher Education confirms to us that now should be the current situation in the LLB throughout universities, what's our recommendation with those universities who have not complied to thus far? That's my input, Chairperson.
Deal with the first one. You know, these public protectors come to us to say there are critical cases that they cannot do because they don't have funding. We don't know what those critical matters are and what criteria are they using to categorize this as critical matters, which means people can come with excuses for not doing the work to say we don't have funds, and then the demands for funds will keep on escalating and escalating. But maybe we should be told, because as Parliament we represent the public. There are matters which are critical in the eyes of the public. We need to be able to know what are those critical matters in the eyes of the public that the public protectors are not able to investigate, not just the Gogo Dlamini issues. So these generalizations may not be be helpful. They could even be attempts to scare us just to recommend monies which are not due. But I think maybe we need to be able to say what criteria are they using, because the public interest must come first. The matters that are in the public interest and in the public domain must be known to us. Which are they? To what extent are they not able to investigate them because of lack of funds? And so on. So you are raising a very critical issue. But with regard to Council of Education, I don't think that the department even needs the Council of Education, because the question of language relates to access to justice. Now, the department comes here with all kinds of pieces of legislation. What stops them from introducing legislation, making the introduction of indigenous languages compulsory? Because these are official languages. Why should it be a matter of negotiations? And I think that for as long as I was part of this committee, I have heard that a committee was set up at universities to discuss the matter. Why does a matter that is in the public interest be subject to approval by universities? Why shouldn't the department make a law and we pass the law and we move? Maybe we should, I don't know, maybe I'm overreaching, but maybe we should be exercising our powers and say the department must introduce the necessary legislation. And if they are unable to do so, we should introduce our own bill. We can't be pleading and acting as an advisory council. Honorable, Christine, do you want to intervene there?
Okay, Mr. Lana, do you want to go first?
We want to chair. We want to co-chair the meeting.
Sorry, no, no, no.
You want to make an interview.
Can I make a quick suggestion? For me, the thing is, the universities are almost like a red herring. So, the goal is to get an African language at a university level, so that there's some kind of accreditation at that level. But then, actually, the problem is around when people go to practice. So that's where we can intervene. We can actually, and this has happened previously, in order to be admitted as an attorney, you needed to have passed, to qualify to practice as an attorney, you need to have passed a university level course in studies in English and Afrikaans. And I think there was even the Latin requirement at some stage. Mm. I mean, surely we could, if you put the pressure on at that level, then the universities will have to follow, because who's going to go to a university and then come out and you can't practice because you don't have the right courses or qualifications behind you. So that might be a quick way of really forcing our agenda or pushing our agenda.
So it means,
in short, it must be a requirement that you can get a degree in this country, whether you are black or white, unless you have passed one of the indigenous languages, like it has been the case in the past, that you can't get a law degree unless you have Latin, English, and Afrikaans. It's as simple as that. It doesn't need negotiations. What are you saying, Christine?
Yes, it's correct, but for us, because we don't want to get into the realm of higher education.
No, why?
Because then we have to negotiate with the council.
Why should we negotiate with higher education? Because we represent the public that must have access to justice, and you can't have access to justice when the judge doesn't understand you, your lawyer doesn't understand you, the policeman doesn't understand you. So it's a question of making justice accessible by making indigenous African languages compulsory. Where does higher education come in? Honorable Nkobe.
So just to clarify, for me it's around you can't qualify to practice law in this country unless you have passed a university level course in English or an African indigenous language or any an African indigenous language. That has to be there as part of the requirements to practice law. And that we can do because there is legislation already. There's the admission of attorneys, or there's now the legal practice.
We agree, but just that you, like lawyers, you make long sentences. We agree with Honorable Mlauzi. Do you want to intervene?
Question is,
no,
indigenous African.
Oh, now we okay. Can we agreed on this matter? that now what we want is a change in the law, a radical change in the law to make indigenous languages compulsory subjects. But maybe it shouldn't stop there, because law is not a practice in the vacuum. No, when you have a matter in the court, you refer matters to social workers, to psychologists. We may be overreaching, but all these helping professions, they must also, take indigenous languages, and that will help to reopen the departments of indigenous languages at universities, and that would help to ensure that our languages don't die, because our languages are dying unnecessarily because of our advisory capacity, which we arrogate to ourselves contrary to the constitution of the country. Honorable Mkwabe, you are next.
Just a slight addition, Chairperson, is still on the same matter.
Mm.
That if that's the case, then it should also apply to the requirements for employing the interpreters, that they must have at least passed one of the indigenous languages. You know, Chairperson, when you are in court, you've got an old man testifying in his own language, and the interpreter is maybe a modestly young lady. You hear a drama, really, and you feel that this old man has been really misinterpreted. So I'm saying in the same spirit, but also the employment of interpreters should also have that requirement of indigenous language.
So I think, Honorable Lauzi,
that's why I think we need your language. There must be radical reformulation of the position to reflect what Honorable Mkwabe is saying, because I think we are just too soft. I don't know why. Honorable Pumulwane.
Yes, I think you nearly at all what I was going to say, really.
Push the microphone.
Oh, come closer. I'm saying that I agree with what you're saying, except that it doesn't go further than that. I think we need to specify the because sometimes there is something called there is African languages that are taught in Model C, but you can see that the standard is very low. It's not really the language. It's actually undermining the languages. They are there in Model C. So it has to be very clear that what level of language. I would prefer that unless they have got much higher or grade, higher grade or whatever, such that they understand the language. Not the question of say upiwena, yinafuna in, and something like that. Falagalo. There should be a proper language that is there. And I want to stress this, and I also say that how we need to make a law, in other words, make a recommendation that a bill be given, but not only that, for use of the African languages in court, not the question of there must be an interpreter. I say this is very, very serious. You are in a court, in a foreign court. Everything is done in a foreign language. Then one guy, a little boy who thinks he understands your language, comes and do the interpretation. It's belittling. Why can't the interpreter interpret for records if it has to be? But the language, but the proceedings be done in the African languages. Why must we go to Britain before we can be in our own court? That I think we need to make a law that says that the African languages should be the languages that are used in Africa in the courts as well. And that
also the languages at universities should be. In other words, I suggest that we make our own private bill on that matter. I don't think that will make on that. I don't know. Secondly, I beg to disagree with the Honourable Chair when I look at page 59.
Let's first finalize what, because we are making
recommendations. Before
yes.
you are, I want to, you to disagree with me on a number of occasions. I think you are making an important point, Honourable Mpumula, that if people have to take an indigenous language for the purpose of use in the courts or in the helping profession, it has to be on a higher grade, not a Fanagalo type of thing. I think that is an important point that you are making. I can see silence means consent. Can you proceed? Now you can proceed to disagree now.
Yes, I disagree with the chair. Page 59, 18.3.
I'm sorry, before you proceed. Are we agreeing that maybe unless we are given time frames as to when a bill will be introduced, we initiate our own bill as Parliament, because this matter is overdue. Honourable Father?
Agree, teacher.
So we agree. We agree with you. Are
we agreeing that we make them, or are we agreeing that we allow them again to make the law? And how long will that take? Can we say within 2 months they must produce this bill, failing which we'll have to make the bill? When are we going to make a bill?
Yeah, that's what the chairperson is saying.
We say we'll give them a time frame. If they...
Making compulsory. But then if we leave it to the department to do, what happens if we don't agree with your views, then you know that bill will never come to Parliament.
Agree with you.
No, if the department or you know the OCJ does not agree with Advocate Mwana's suggestion on languages, then that bill will never come to Parliament. So I think it would be much better for the committee to initiate its own bill.
I agree, and I think this is what I wanted.
We have been not, thank you for that intervention, we have not been exercising our power. We have been repeating this all the time. So we agree that we need a committee bill on language.
Agreed. Right.
Okay, agreed.
Now, I just want to, with due respect, refer the chairperson to pay.
Can you speak on the right there, Honorable? Yes. It's on site. It's on site. Can you hear my own voice?
No.
Well, I think it's because they are like
switch off your
No, I think it's
what
on now. We are testing on your behalf.
On my behalf? Okay. Yes.
Thank you for your kindness.
Thank you for your appreciation of the kindness.
On paragraph 18.3, the committee is actually saying that it understands why the request is made and is largely sympathetic for the request by the public. From 2014, the public protector has been requesting for more. It has explained 2015, 2016, we have been continuously having this problem. Now, there was no time, as you correctly said here, that we have a provision. I have not yet to explain why understand what you're saying. Sometimes we need to know that that does not stop us understanding the problem that has been and carrying all these years. Now I'm saying that I agree with that that can we write in our recommendation that we need to I don't know whether we need to approach the appropriation committee or what, however we do it, something has to be done, that we correctly put it in point 18.3, and we also understand that this has been continuing complaint for this the public organization lamenting about the president. And I don't think that we need to micromanage the public protector and say, no, we must show us why you think it is important to get more money. I think we have agreed on that. We have been saying also, not only on this report, on the previous report we did say
on page 59, it says the committee did propose in its BRR that the public protector be given additional funding for increased investigative capacity and for the increased cost of litigation, but was informed by the Minister of Finance that there is simply no money at this time. We did make that recommendation. But also, we can make such recommendations without bearing in mind institutional instability in the institution and also the underutilization of senior officials like the deputy public protector, a wrong deployment of staff. So before we put money, there are certain things that must be addressed, but we in the past have made the recommendation of the type that you are suggesting. So we are not hostile to capacitating that office, but we also need to be assured that the office is doing the necessary, the available capacity is properly utilized. Honorable Mlauzi.
Thanks, Chairperson. My contribution on...
I'm sorry, maybe Honorable Mpumulan wants to make a phone.
I think if we agree that there are problems such that we have made in the recommendation, I don't think it's either here or wrong how much. I mean, to me, that we need to find out from each institution. Including people. But it's not on the question now what we're talking about. We're talking about we have this problem. Not only on the public order, by the way, and many other like legal agencies. We have done that in the legal aid. We're trying to get the money as much as possible. I think that on both instances that just one did raise this problem. Even said, suggested that can we talk to, I don't know whether it is appropriating account or committee, but he suggested it. In other words, the committee did claim that let us make provisions. What I'm trying to say is that we can't say when we're making a recommendation, we say provision that we must make sure that they're doing the job well before we give them funds. I don't think it's either here nor there. I agree with you. Your sympathy about, but we can't say it is a recommendation. What I'm requesting recommendation that what that MGO was saying and what that is what was saying earlier should be put in the recommendation. That's all what
the challenge
not only on the public protector, as well as other.
I want to focus on the public protector.
Mm.
The challenge has been that both the previous public protector and the current ones agreed with this committee that we need to review the Public Protectors Act, which the department has not done. maybe we again must take the initiative ourselves, because what's happening, the Office of the Public Protector is established to strengthen and support democracy, but it appears to be have been established to be a prosecutor, and as a result, it comes with remedial actions which are challenged by the departments. The departments take them to court, and then we end up in a situation where everything ends up in court. Even the departments have got to take the budgets for service delivery into defending themselves against remedial actions. And we can't blame the public protector. We can't blame the department. We must blame ourselves and the department for not aligning the law with the Constitution, which is clear. It says the Chapter 9 institutions must strengthen and support democracy, not to prosecute public. So the question of reviewing that act is a matter of extreme urgency, unless we want to bankrupt government and make it difficult to provide services.
So are you against in us saying what you
are? We can ask for money to do things that are not going well because the law is not aligned. We must correct the law so that the law, in its implication, doesn't create unnecessary costs to the taxpayer.
Are we going to wait?
We are not waiting.
Are we going to wait to assist to get more money for this institution until this act is changed?
No.
Can I
intervene, Chairperson?
Yes, please.
On the point of procedure and motherly advice, yes, Chairperson, with due respect, I'm trying to avoid that dialogue between you and Honorable Bumlwana, taking into consideration that today is Tuesday. His Excellency President Ramaphosa will be answering questions, oral questions in the NA. It's now 12:42. We haven't adopted our report for Secretariat to process it and for all parliamentary processes to follow. So with due respect, motherly advice, can we proceed?
Yes, I think we agree that we can't just agree to put in money
without getting what is not right. Right, we're saying in regard to this office, there are certain things that we must get right. One of those things is that we must review the legislation with immediate effect, unless ourselves, unless the department does so. Any other question, Honorable Mlauzi,
yeah,
and then Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would also like to advise the members that we must agree and respect the Chairperson. If there is something we are arguing, we are not agreeing, let's allow the Chairperson to give direction, the ruling. So if we are not happy with the decision, we can do it outside the meeting to try to clarify the Chairperson in order to avoid wasting of time. Chairperson, I want to entertain this report on a point of clarity-seeking question on page 49. Page 49, the last paragraph. Page 49, the last paragraph. The committee notes that the ICJS was to have been developed and approved by 31st March 2018. But there is now a review target date for submission to Cabinet of 28 February 2019. I think this statement is vague and ambiguous. Yeah, I wanted to hear when will we finish to develop this strategy and the date of submitting the Cabinet we can see, but when is it going to be completed, because the date of 31st March has already passed. Can maybe we be cleared on that? One. Second clarity question is on page 51.
on 14.2.9 on the community courts. It's about the draft report, which will be available at the end of September 2017. So, therefore, September 2017 has lapsed already. So, I was still waiting for this report. I want to clear it on that because it seems vague and ambiguous. Thank you, Jacob.
Clarified, because there are lots of things that are left hanging, and then you don't know until when. Christine?
With regard to the ICJS, the information is what we received. There was supposed to, the strategy was meant to be in a proof by cabinet by February or March this year, But now we see the APPs, it's been stretched for another year. And this, in fact, is something that happens a lot in around the ICJS. We have these never-ending push targets. So I mean, you know, the thing is that we didn't really interact with the committee on with the department on this particular point when they were here, so I couldn't fill in the committee's views. So perhaps you'd like to put in something around that you're not pleased about these endless fixed targets.
Hiding behind the cabinet. Certain things, matters that should have just simply been implemented. You know, community courts, there has been a pilot project for the past 15 years. And then a pilot means that you learn lessons from it, you replicate it. What has happened to it? Now we have to wait for cabinet again. To do what?
Are you answering on the blue line?
Thanks, Jefferson. But as you said, there are so many things hanging around. How about maybe we get in our next meeting formally the DG and his team to come and appear here?
Not the
DG. I think we need the politicians to come and account. Because you see, the politicians are the principal.
Yeah.
They have the right, the duty to oversee the officials. We can't be listening to officials, and then the DGs have no power over the cabinet and so on.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Any other? Honorable Skosana?
Next meeting, we want the
principals to come and tell us why things are happening, are hanging, like washing.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. No, I wanted to comment on the issue of the public protector. I think referring to, I think the issue raised by Honorable Mpumlwana on page 59, 18.3, Wushu also responded to it. I think in my view, I think what is captured there, I think to me, I think it suffices as a response to say the committee did propose in its DRRR that the public protector be given additional funding for increased investigative capacity and for the increased cost of litigation, but was informed by the Minister of Finance that there's simply no money at this time. So I think that response, I think to me, I think is sufficient. I think, but what I don't agree with, it's for us to add other things, to say maybe we're not happy, we don't know what they are investigating, what. I think that might create an impression that we were not supporting the office. You see. So there are challenges, I think, in that office, which all of us, we know it, but I think we should not use them as a reason. But we must say, we did try our part, but unfortunately, the Department of Finance indicated that there's no funds. I think that, to me, is enough, but we must not add things. I think adding these other things, I think that's what creates problems. To say, we don't even know what they are investigating, what. I think those, if we raise these other things, I think it might also create challenge. But if we stick to this, I think this 18.3, I think it's sufficient.
We agree with you, Honorable Skosana. All we are saying is that there are challenges arising from the legislation itself, but the legislation must be aligned with the Constitution,
because the legislation creates problems of lawfare where the departments, so it's a separate issue. But what you are putting across is quite in order. We fully agree with you. Honorable Christine?
The whole issue around the budget, I'm sure that it was aside, well, it's not really a side issue because it's background to this whole. The whole issue around budgets for Chapter 9 is a problem because they are traditionally, or they have been underfunded, historically underfunded. So even when they get increases and they even, you know, they actually like real increases or there's positive growth, it doesn't really make a huge impact in terms of their work. So cause they started at a very low base. So one of the recommendations in the ASNA report was that the budgets of the Chapter 9s be transferred away from the departmental votes and placed on Parliament's vote. And in fact, that was one of the resolutions that was adopted by, one of the two resolutions that was adopted by the National Assembly. But that one hasn't really actually ever been taken up and it hasn't come to fruition. So we could just put a sentence in our report around that we ask that the OISD look into establishing, look into the funding of the Chapter 9 as a whole.
Have you any other points? There's an issue
about the commissioners, human rights commissions, others insisting on working where they are based in the region. And the law saying that there's a head office. What is our position on that? Because we allow them to deal with the matter. They don't seem to be able to agree. Honorable Mpumulwana?
Right. Personally, I think to think of having a head office far from people is a thing of the past. Today there is technology that allows whether a person anywhere in the country is able to have a teleconference or anything that they can see each other. To me, I don't see why they should all have a head office container. To me, I think that they should be located to provinces and that they are seen by the public in those provinces. As principal in those offices. And also, there's another thing that I raised with them. I don't know if this thing of saying so-and-so is responsible for education anywhere in the country, and so on. Instead of having each and every region, the person there is responsible for everything within that particular region.
Mpumulwana, shouldn't we be guided by the law which says that there is the seat of the commission, according to Section 3(1) of the South African Human Rights Commission Act, and that should be a different matter as to responsibilities. People can be responsible for certain regions, but we can't create headquarters all over the country. Shouldn't we separate those matters? I think it's a question.
I agree, but what I'm saying is that head office doesn't mean that everybody wants to be there. Head office is where the administration basically is based. But in the question, it doesn't mean that all the commissioners are going to be there because of head office. Head office means where the major administration.
Maybe we should come back to this matter because you see, the problem we had with the previous commission, which led to the Isidimeni matter, is the failure of the commission to act as a collective, where they would be passing bugs, the one who would say so and so was responsible, because there are certain decisions which must be taken collectively, and these people must be at the same place, and so on. You can deal with crisis matters through the email or the SMS. But I think, let's say this matter, Christine and the team, let's resolve this matter according to the law, not according to our preferences. Can we move on?
Okay.
Any other? There is also
the question of the Kada Asman report. I don't think it's correct that you call heads of Chapter 9 institutions and you ask them whether or not to implement the Kada Asman report. The question is what would be in the public interest. And now we have been asking them their opinion. Obviously, they wouldn't agree, and they are not agreeing, and there are so many of these institutions. Each one of them wants to extend a footprint, and each footprint increases the budget, and there's no money. Why shouldn't we say that now it's time to implement the Kada Asman report, and if they are not able to implement it, we come with a way of dealing with it. What are we saying on the Kada Asman report? Is it optional or is something that should be implemented? As Kirsten?
Just from a technical point of view, there is a problem with the Asman report because it was never adopted except for those two resolutions as a whole. The other problem with it is, so it's got no standing in terms of Parliament at this stage. The other problem is that it was finalised in 2007. Most of the work was done in 2006. So a lot has happened in the 12 years that has passed. So some of the stuff is applicable and some isn't. So those would be some of the things that Parliament would need to engage with in order to take that process forward. But that's just from a technical point of view.
Christine, we're an organ of Parliament. Shouldn't we say we recommend to Parliament to adopt this report so that it becomes mandatory to implement it? Because for as long as the report is not adopted, we have a proliferation of these structures, and each one of them, they want offices all over the world, and then they ask for more money. If we don't give them money, they think that we are not supportive of them. What are we saying, honorable members? Should we recommend to Parliament that the Kada Asman report be adopted? Obviously, Parliament will not blindly adopt. It will debate and amend if it so wishes, but action must be taken. Otherwise, Parliament itself will be failing the people. Honourable Swart.
No, Chair, I tend to agree with you, particularly given the fact that two resolutions from that report were accepted by Parliament, and the ad hoc committee that sat on it was representative of all the parties at that stage in Parliament, and they were in broad agreement with that. It's a pity that it wasn't accepted then already by Parliament, but there have been further steps to take, and I think the fact that there were two recommendations that were accepted by Parliament means that we could say in principle it should be accepted so that one can start looking into that whole aspect. So we can say it in principle, and then this Parliament would take a view, because a lot of work went into that process.
Otherwise, it means that after 2019 this thing must still be on the agenda of Parliament. Then it's a failure on the part of Parliament to finalize matters. And what does that mean?
Any other issue?
Move to accept the report, subject to amendment. Move to accept the report, subject to amendment.
There's a movement, there's a proposal. Sorry, before you move, there is this animal called the Renaissance Project.
This thing also leaves things hanging,
And you know, Renaissance is at the heart of the transformation of the legal system. And if things are hanging there, it means we are not transforming the legal system. And this matter has got to be dealt with. The second issue is the question of paralegal legislation. It's not coming before us. And paralegal legislation would bring justice closer to the people. The other issue is the Land Claims Court. They are acting judges. And we have a problem now. The land issue has become central and a grave matter. And it wouldn't have been so if we had a functional land claims court. We have a Land Restitution Act. We have repeatedly recommended that the Department of Justice and the Department of Rural Affairs review the legislation. Nothing is being done. And that's why now we have a problem with the question of land, and then like now we are having a state of emergency in the country. We also have the question of you know, this struggle for liberation was about human and people's rights. We even have the Court of Human and People's Rights on the continent, but there has been resistance on the part of the Human Rights Commission to even talk about people's rights. And before you address people's rights, you have not fully addressed the question of the emancipation of the people. We need to know why there is resistance to deal with human and people's rights, and we only deal with human rights. The other issue is the other issue is Honorable Mandela created the Foundation for Human Rights to channel funds for servicing the people. Now it would seem the department has given the Foundation for Human Rights such autonomy that they may use the money as they please. I don't think that's what Mandela wanted. Now the question is, are we saying that this foundation is not subject to oversight by the department or by ourselves? So these are the issues that we must deal with. Otherwise, we are talking about no resources for paralegals, no resources for advice centers, but the resources are there that President Mandela raised, but we are not exercising our oversight to ensure that those resources are utilized properly. So those are my observations, and I think we need to take a stand to say oversight means that we have to make things mandatory and not optional. Otherwise, why should we sit here? There's a proposal for the adoption of the report. And then the other matters we can leave for debate in the House. Okay. Yeah. Honorable Mpumlwana? Oh, you agree. There is a proposal for the adoption of the report. There's a second. Any other counter proposal? No counter-proposal, so those in favor, can you raise your hand?
Yes.
But the layman is abstaining.
Seven in favor and up against. It's not against, it's just reserving. And you know, he's expanding his scope for debate, which is a reasonable approach. Yeah. Okay. What are you saying? No, thank you very much. But please, let's tighten this report. Let's make our recommendation firm. Now, from here, we don't want to act as an advisory committee. We want to enforcement. Members of the ANC, may you remain behind. Come closer, please. And the Honorable Swart can join the ANC.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm?
No, but it's